when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family. Hey, we're coming back. We're in the second hour. We're getting ready to pick up this wonderful lady, a wonderful patriot. Her name is Mindy Esposito, and she was on last week, and she's going to come on and give us a full report of what happened at they were down at Stone Mountain, Georgia this weekend. But, hey, before I got to read you something. You know, I know we went through the donors already, but we just got one more came in the mail a few minutes ago. I went up the front to get me some chocolate and some coffee. I got a beautiful card, and I'll see if y'all can figure out who it's from. And he sent a donation. The card has got a photograph of the Forest Home. It surely does. It's got a, and the check has got all, looks like probably the main flags of the Confederacy, you know, the Bonnie Blue, the Confederate battle flag, etc. Can anybody guess who sent this card with a note in it and a check? The bitter ender, in case you can't guess. Gene Andrews. He sent this beautiful card. And here's what he says. I got to read this. Thank you, Gene. He says, this is straight up bitter ender. Eddie, this is for you helping to keep the river bloody. Keep the gear on them. Still, Gene, Bitter Ender Andrews. God bless you, Gene. You made my day, son. You should see this beautiful flag. The daggone flag, I hate to catch it, but I would like to mount it. It looks a beautiful work of art, man. It's got six beautiful flags there. Anyway, thank you so much, Bitter Ender. Golly, that makes my day. But anyway, like we said, we got me and Rand's staying over to the second hour, and we brought in Miss Mindy Esposito. In case y'all people weren't listening last week, she was here, and we just got her back on again, and she's going to take this second hour. It's going to be all her. So, how you doing today, Miss Mindy?
I'm doing great. I'm on my way back to Nashville. We're probably about 80 miles from Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And we had a great time at Stone Mountain.
That's down there around Gene, about the Bitter Enders. That's his stomping grounds down there around Nashville, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we kind of go past him. We're a little further north than he is.
Well, the Bitter Enders, he's not too well liked by the bureaucracy in Nashburg. I'm not surprised. I think he's kind of a thorn in their side sometimes, and that's for dang I'm sure. But I know we told the people we last week. I was really excited when we told them that you were going to be going down to Stone Mountain, and we've been praying for you that nothing would happen, that the BLM and the Antifa and the Gooks would not get out of control and attack you. So if you will, take off and tell us all about. Anything, you know, how long it took you to get there, what you did when you got there, why you were there. Give us a full report there, Miss Mindy.
Well, it was the Confederate Memorial Day service at Stone Mountain. And for anybody that's never been there, it is so beautiful, that carving. And we were staged right in the field, right in front of the carving, with all of our flags flying, and everybody had flags. And there were no BLM or Antifa people there. The only people that did show up were the coalition that's trying to get the mountain taken down, get the carving blown off the mountain. But there were only about 20 of them, and they tried to disrupt us, but they really couldn't. They just weren't strong enough, and they were chanting no Trump and no KKK. And we were all looking at each other like, there's no Trump or KKK here. Why are you protesting that? But the They did an excellent job. They closed the park for all attractions until 2 o'clock today. Our service ended at 1. So, and the police presence was everywhere. They even had a SWAT teams in there. They had police in the trees, and they weren't going to have any problems. They made sure of that. So, and I tell you, it was such a beautiful day. I mean, you could not have asked for better weather. It was so inspiring. And it was really more, how do I want to say this? More impactful than I expected anything coming from the SCV would be. They weren't being their timid, watered down self. They were all speaking of the things that we're talking about in the Southern Independence Association that I talked about last week. Some of the same phrases, actually. But they had a bluegrass band. The name of that band was Jubilee, that played a lot of our Southern songs, a lot of Confederate songs. That was very moving. And then we had a bagpipe player who played some religious music, and his rendition of Amazing Grace was so beautiful. The Kennedy brothers were there, you know, with the writers. Oh. The South was right. They were there. Pastor Weaver was the keynote speaker, and he was really good.
Oh, we've had him. I'm sure I used to communicate with him by email and I think text message some. I want him. He's a great historian, Confederate historian, and if he's the one I'm thinking about.
Oh, yes. Pastor John Weaver. Yes, he is.
Him.
I mean, he knows his stuff. He was really good. And the SCV brass was really good, too. They're talking about the same things we're talking about now, our rights, our state rights, and how the federal government, it doesn't have the right to do the things they're doing. And what it was to honor our heroes, of course, that fought and died for the Confederacy, but it also was applying everything that happened then to today, because we're kind of in the same boat that we were then. But I do have to say something. We're on our drive, you know, from Atlanta back to Nashville. People need to stop moving here. We really are full. The roads are really full. The traffic, you know, on a Saturday, you wouldn't think that, but oh my gosh, there's cars everywhere on the interstate going down there. And I know whenever we go to Florida, it's the same way.
You know, when I run marathons, and I was supposed to run Nashville this year, and they ran it, I think it was last Saturday. In fact, I had signed up for it, but through deaths in the family, and I had I have these endless injuries from bicycle wrecks and stuff, but I had an injury, and I got over it a lot faster than I thought I would. But,
okay.
Yeah, I was there. I've run the marathon in Nashville several times, and and I've gone across to up to Cookeville, and it's a nightmare getting through Nashville, man. I mean, it's, you know what? I've been in Manhattan several times. I've run the New York Marathons 5 times, and I'll have to say, Nashville is probably as tough to navigate in some ways, maybe tougher in some ways than it is in Manhattan. But you're absolutely right. I was going to say so.
It's Chattanooga. Chattanooga's gotten bad, too.
Now, Chattanooga, I didn't know. You know, I've never been to Chattanooga. I think that's kind of southeast of Nashville, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
Something else you said, Mandy, I'm hoping to go off a rabbit trail. You told me something. I think you're the one that told me, and I alluded to this on First Hour, that we had two representatives from the Tennessee legislature who were all kicked out, et cetera. Rand said he thinks they might have brought them back. But they were in there, and what they did, they had a January 6th type insurrection. You know, it's okay to have an insurrection if you're all white and you're patriots, but if you have two blacks that come into the Tennessee State Legislature and they shut the whole thing down, that really was an insurrection. Well, they got censored, kicked out, whatever. Well, I think you were telling me, Tell us a little bit of that story you were telling me about that, how they wound up in Washington, D.C., if you don't mind, Mindy.
Well, they had started this protest. They brought all these people in to the Capitol building in Nashville and basically had a riot. The representatives and the senators had to be escorted by police just to get through the crowd. I mean, it was totally wrong. It was out of decorum. It was not bringing up the subject on the House floor. It was not bringing people in to testify. It was a riot. So they were removed. And this all happened because of the six people that were killed at the Christian school, the children and the teachers and administrator. And they want, of course, what they always do, they want gun control.
Yes.
So they were. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm saying yes, I was agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Okay, well, they were removed from office. That's according to the laws of the legislature. And then they were immediately sent back, which is within the rules, until there's a special election. And they cannot be removed again for the same thing. So they're there until there's special elections in their districts. Well, President Biden, first of all, Kamala, however you pronounce it, she came to Nashville and met with them and met with the protesters.
Oh, we have to go to our first break, the second hour, Miss Mindy, because I hear the music. We're going to go to our first commercial. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, dear.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Dear Blood River Radio family, God bless you for keeping us on there. That was, I got a really good kick out of that note and that check we got from Jean, the bitter ender. But people, we've got to go right back to Mindy. She's got some news that it'll either make your blood boil, or it'll just make you want to throw in the towel. But go ahead, Miss Mindy, tell us that story that you were telling us about on the air. I mean, during the break.
Well, what happened was Biden and Kamala Harris both met with the three representatives. There were the two Justins and the one white woman who was not removed, but she's with them. She's she has the same philosophy as they do. And they brought them to Washington and had a meeting with the president and the vice president. And during that meeting, and this set off red flags for me, they were talking about how the state laws are a problem and how they need to get some of that under control in the states. And that I even talked to our people in our organization, like, they're coming after us. And I feel like it was a total setup for that reason. The whole shooting and the crying about gun control, that's to disarm us. And it's the South and the West, but for predominantly the South, we're not giving up our guns. It's not going to happen. But they never met with the families of the people who were killed. Not once. They never called them. They never met with them. But they did have a full-blown day with the representatives from Tennessee that caused the riot at the Capitol. And that's the only way you can describe it. I mean, the senators and representatives had to be escorted out by police. They totally took over the Capitol. So they should have been ousted. And they're back now because of the way Tennessee laws are, temporarily until they have special elections. But when one of them, and I'm sorry, I get my Justins mixed up, but one of the Justins was in the riots in Nashville in 2020 with BLM. And they have him on video on top of a police car and stomping on a police car and doing some other vandalism with those protests. And they never prosecuted him. They let him go. And then he ends up being a state representative. He's a criminal. He's a thug. And I personally have a friend who their son was there. He was not on tape doing anything, but by association, a friend of his was. He's been in jail ever since May of 2020, not even gone to court yet. And they talk about racism. That's totally reverse racism. And he was there supporting BLM. That's the crazy thing.
It's
scary.
I'm to the point, Mindy, and I'm sure you are too, and I'm sure our family is. It's almost, you don't know what to say. There's nothing left to say. I'm sitting here thinking, duh. I mean, how can it get any worse? You know, we've talked about a week or two ago, we were talking about Samuel Francis, one of my all-time favorite writers. Probably everybody's in our movement's all-time favorite writers, who used to write for the Washington Times. And I think we were talking about, he's the one that coined this term, anarcho-tyranny. And that would probably, Sam Francis would say, what you witnessed here recently, what we witnessed in at the January 6th, in Washington, and also in Nashville, when they took over with these two feral black animals took over the Tennessee legislature. And you know what? It almost makes me ashamed to be a white man to see all those white representatives inside that house just sit there just like jellyfish. You know what? Could you imagine that happening in Davy Crockett's day? In Davy Crockett's day, those representatives there, they'd have beat those feral blacks to the ground. First of all, they wouldn't even been in there, but blacks wouldn't have been in there. But they would have beat them. They'd have beat their socks off. They wouldn't tolerate that crap. But here we have these white, lily, coward, worthless representatives. About the only thing they've done worth a damn. Was kicking those people out, I guess, many. You know what? That's what he calls anarcho-tyranny. And you know what? I'm going to go this right here. And the latter part, the first part of anarcho-tyranny is when they start, the powers that be, the communists, we've had a complete communist takeover. And that's when they use their goons, their feral black animals, and their communist Jews, these used Jews in the streets to burn cities down. Then now we're at the stage where you have the political stage. I believe Francis Sam would probably say that. Now we're seeing the good people, the second part of our anarcho-tyranny is where the innocents are arrested. The criminals burn a city down. The people that resist, people that object to the crimes.
That's exactly
crimes.
Right.
But you go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off, but it's just infuriating.
No, that's exactly what happened. That's what's happened. And you're absolutely right. We are a communist country in all but name at this point. But I really think the only thing that will save any part of the country is the South. And a lot of the Southern governments, the Southern governors and their legislature are standing up. And Washington does not like it at all. And I'm cautious, but I am concerned because I think they're coming after the Southern states. And I think we'll see that in the next 6 months to a year.
And you know, Randy, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope they do initiate it. I hope they do come after the Southern states. And maybe that'll make some people get off their rear end and see the light and say, well, we are going to have to do something. It's going to be some serious stuff that's going to take place, but we're going to have to do it. So I hope you're right, because we're letting even the South slip away. You mentioned a while ago about the people, so many people. You know, for about the last 3 or 4 years, so I live in South Central Alabama, and we got a couple of main highways, okay. 231 and 331, that the main fairway, for people going to Florida, to the Panhandle. And you can pull up to these certain highways at certain times, especially on the weekend, beginning this time of year and all throughout the summer, and you might have to sit there 10, 15 minutes before you can even pull out. There's so much traffic.
Absolutely.
There's so much people. And not only that, but you got people moving down here, that buying up lots. I mean, just wooded lots that don't even have utilities in it yet. They're coming from New York. They're coming from Pennsylvania. They're coming from all over. And you know,
they're trying to get their freedom.
Yes, I agree with you. And the way you can't blame them, and I hope that for the most part, some of them, that they'll be more like-minded like us that moving down here. Not that voting matters anymore. That's another thing. People, you know, still on the voting. We're not going to vote our way out of this situation. There's no way in the world in how anybody can have any confidence in a federal election after what happened in 2020. I don't see that at all. I mean, I have zero confidence in the election process, especially at the federal level. But you know, you brought up another thing about the young man that's sitting in jail that hadn't even had a chance to bail out or anything. If they're political prisoners, we're in a war.
He has.
The other side is taking prisoners. I mean, there's people in Charlottesville that just come to the defense of elderly men that was there toting a flag, maybe to hear a speech. Didn't come there to start no ruckus or have no riot or anything, but they were attacked by these feral Negroes, hit in the head with mag lights and everything else. The man that gets hit in the head with the mag light, that could have killed him. And the guy and the black Negro that hit him, I mean, he gets turned Scott loose free. That should have been attempted murder. And you got young men that come to people like Harold Cruz defense that's sitting in jail even to this day. And they will sit there every day, every hour, every minute of their sentence. They will not get out 1 minute early. They'll be there until the last second rings off the bell.
I got a question for Mindy. Miss Mindy, do you think I was too hard on you? I think you were getting ready to probably tell us something we didn't know about the legislature, from was coming down on them for not defending themselves inside the legislature. I think you might have been getting ready to tell something else. Would you like to go back to that point?
Well, there's a lot there. We just talked about a lot of things. The legislature.
We got to go to another break, Miss Mindy. We have to go. Hold that thought. Don't lose that thought. We're going into another break, another commercial break. We'll come back to you, Mindy, right after this break. People, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this intense story. Be right back. This report.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Hundreds of Americans have been evacuated from Sudan, according to the State Department. The Pentagon says it's acting on a request for the military to support the safe departure of U.S. citizens and their immediate family members. There's an estimated 16,000 Americans living in that war-torn country. A manhunt is underway in Texas, where a gunman killed five neighbors in a house near Houston. According to San Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers, police had received a call about harassment.
My understanding is that the victims, they came over to the fence, said, hey, do you mind not shooting out in the yard? We have a young baby that's trying to go to sleep. And he had been drinking, and he says, I'll do what I want to in my front yard.
When police arrived, they found the five victims, the youngest just 8 years old. Police believe the suspect, 38-year-old Francisco Oropeza, who's a Mexican national, has fled the country. With tax day passing just a few weeks ago, the federal government says there's been an influx of tax money, and that's reduced the fears of the U.S. defaulting on its debts as early as June if the debt ceiling isn't raised. A report from Goldman Sachs and Oxford Economics says the Treasury Department should be able to continue to pay the nation's bills until the end of July. That'll give lawmakers a little more time to come up with a plan to raise the debt limit. The Biden administration is commuting some drug sentences and offering help to former prisoners.
31 nonviolent drug offenders on home confinement are having their drug sentences commuted by President Biden. The White House says they have demonstrated a commitment to rehabilitation by getting jobs and advancing their education. The move comes as part of a broader effort to improve rehabilitation programs in jails and prisons. The administration has also rolled out a plan to help the formerly incarcerated access health care, housing, education, and employment. I'm Jeremy Scott.
More severe weather heading for the south this weekend. Damaging thunderstorms will move from Texas through Florida into the Carolina coast. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to backtrack a little bit because, you know what, I think I've been self-corrected or corrected because about some information I didn't know about. But earlier, I was really stomping on the legislatures, the representatives in Washington, in Nashville, and I apologize if I was too hard on them because Miss Mindy during the break was telling me some things I didn't know. I said that I didn't think they had courage, blah, blah, blah. She's telling us some stuff I didn't know about. So go ahead, Miss Mindy. Tell us about what you know about how they follow the law, these other new laws you're talking about that are being formed by the states. But go ahead, Miss Mindy.
Well, the riot at the Capitol a few weeks ago, that was a total setup. It was for gun control, and it was a setup. The representative followed the law in Tennessee. They kept their cool. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. And I'm proud of the legislature in Tennessee right now because they're passing some good laws. In my opinion, like Rand said, forget federal elections. They're gone. They're completely gone. But they're not gone in the states. And I think that our states are taking back our rights. It's the 10th Amendment. The power is not delegated. Specifically get delegated to the federal government are the purview of the states, but also the Ninth Amendment, which says that the rights that are in the Constitution for the state are not the only rights. Even though they're enumerated, they have all other rights too.
Correct.
Except what's specific to the federal government. Very
Correct.
Limited. It was always supposed to be very limited. So in my view, the states, and it's not just Tennessee, it's Alabama and Florida and even Georgia, which Georgia I was not happy with, but they're actually passing laws to protect rights in their states. And I think that's why the federal government is going to try and come after them. But I'm actually proud of the people, most of them. I mean, you've got both sides anywhere, and you've got people that have drank the Kool-Aid and believe all the garbage that the federal government says. But more and more we have governors and legislators who are trying to take back our rights and take back our states. And frankly, I think it's the only hope for the country. I really do. The southern states and some of the western states that would join us. And what Rand said, yeah, it should happen, but I pray it doesn't. I pray that we can do this because now everything's out in the open. I pray we can do more like a Brexit where we can separate peacefully and they can run their part of the country however they want.
That's brilliant.
But I'm afraid it won't. I'm afraid it won't be.
Well, I have a question, and I'm going to go to Rand. You know, Ms. Mindy, in passing all these laws, you said, and it's very refreshing to see that our southern legislatures, especially away from the huge cities, passing these laws. Now, my question is, do you think, and you seem to have more of an inside view of this than I do, about the legislatures and their mindset, are they, these people passing these laws, do you think, are they ready to defend these laws, do you think, if necessary, against an invading, against the ever overreaching feds? Are they ready to defend those laws, defend their states against the feds maybe in an effort in their long-term view?
I think they're going to have to because the people are going to demand it.
Are we going to have a Brexit? Are we going to have a Brexit?
I don't know. With the Southern Independence Association, we're trying to do everything we can within the union, within the government, under the Constitution. Same thing our ancestors wanted. But they got to a point where they couldn't anymore. So I'm hoping that we can affect the change that we need to within the laws. We have a constitutionalist Supreme Court, first time in my lifetime. That could uphold the laws. That's what we hope for. But I am concerned, especially after what happened with the Tennessee legislators or representatives in Biden and Harris and what they were saying. I feel like it was a setup. I feel like it was a total setup and to justify coming down on the southern states because they don't like it. They don't like that we're saying no. I mean, that we're saying we're not going to do it that way in our states. They don't like it. They don't want that. That's not communism. Communism has to be all under one umbrella.
Yes. Your gut feeling, Mindy, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. We had a massive, complete communist takeover. The question is, and this is just a rabbit trail. The question is, are we the people? Are we ready to go back? There's no question that we are being ruled by communists, but are we the people ready to roll that communist stuff back and do what has to be done? Your gut feeling, Miss Mindy, are the legislatures in a handful of the Confederate states that you mentioned, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, are they, and probably maybe Arkansas, are they ready? Are those legislatures, or do they have the guts, and are we the people ready to follow them? Your gut feeling, Miss Mindy.
I can tell you absolutely the people are, because you remember, Eddie, you don't have to have a majority. You have to have an active and vocal minority. That's how this country was founded.
Hallelujah.
That's where the 3%ers come from.
You preach it, girl.
It was only 3% of the people that fought in the revolution. You know,
Hallelujah.
There wasn't a lot of people were against it, but you've got a significant number of people in the South and in some of the Western states that are, they've had it. They see what's happening. They know the Constitution. They know what it's supposed to be. And any of us that are, you know, past 30, we know what it used to be. It's eroded and eroded and eroded until it's on overdrive now. I don't want war. I don't want war. I mean, that would hurt everybody. I think that because of instant communication, because of that Brexit, how that was done peacefully, I think there is a chance that we could separate. I have relatives that have fought in every single war since the revolution. I'm an American, but now I'm a Southerner because I see what they've done to the rest of the country
and the rest of the world.
And it's not that. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff was talked about today at Stone Mountain. I was really impressed because I thought it would be kind of wishy-washy because the SCV kind of straddles the fence a lot, but it wasn't today. It was the things that I talked to you about last week with the Southern Independence Association is what they were talking about today, all of them. And they were talking about how our rights and how what our ancestors wanted. We're in that boat now. It was very inspirational. And you have a lot of people here in the South, and a lot of them haven't joined organizations yet, but they know it. They see. I mean, every time I talk to people, they feel the same way that we do. Or I should say they think the same way that we do. They see the writing on the wall. Anybody who watched the 2020 election, and even the runoff election in Georgia, or the 2024 midterms, you see exactly what they did. It was, I mean, I stay up all night watching it. It's like, and they just stopped because they had to change the figures.
You're 100% right. The first election I was ever involved in on foot, me and James Edwards, I used to be the political suspect a long time ago. We were backing this guy named Austin Farley, who was running for a state rep, I think in District 7. And this actually happened to us. We were watching the election returns here, state election. And we had X number of votes for Austin Farley. This actually happened. We went to a news break. And when you come back, you can say, yeah, more votes came in, so maybe our competitor had more votes. But you don't lose votes after you go. We had, say, 10,000 votes, and we come back for the news break, we only had 5,000. I mean, it's been going on forever.
Uh-huh.
You know, my question for you before we go to Rand, we're going to go to a break just a second. But, you know, we're always hearing this. Our job is to wake the people up, wake the people up. Oh, wake them. We've been spending 60, 75 years trying to wake the people up. My question is, are the people that need to be awakened and the people that need to be awakened, the ones that you're mentioning, the ones you talk about, the actual 3 to 5 to 15% of type, there's an organization called the 3 percenters that actually participated in the first war of independence. Are all those people awake now, Mindy? Should we spend more time trying to wake up other people? If we do, and once we do get these people awake, then what? So hey, save that. We'll come back, answer that question, and then we'll bring old Rand back in. I'm sure he's got some questions too. So we'll go right back to that question as soon as we come back, Miss Mindy. You're absolutely nailing it, girl. My hat's off to you. Be right back, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Blood River Radio family, this lady is incredible, man. What a treasure, what an asset to our white Christian people. Before we went to break, I was asking Miss Mindy, are the people awake, especially are the people awake that we can use? Are the three percenters of the First War of Independence in 1776, are their great-great-grandchildren, or are they awake? And then if they're awake, what are we going to do? Now, we're going to go back and we'll ask Miss Mindy to answer that question. Go ahead, Miss Mindy.
From what I see, the people are awake. Even the ones that aren't vocal right now, they're awake. We don't have to wake them up. We have to organize them, and we have to keep them inspired. It's because it's hard. This isn't easy. This isn't, even though it doesn't take a majority, it's still going to be hard for every individual. And I have no doubt that the federal government will come down on every individual that's trying to affect change. So we have to keep them inspired. And like I said before, kind of like Thomas Paine did during the Revolutionary War. But the people are not going to give up their rights. They're not going to without a fight. And hopefully that's a political fight. And we can run our own candidates and keep organizing and grow a big enough coalition that the states have to govern by the consent of the people. They just have to. They won't have jobs. It won't happen in the rest of the country, but it will in the southern states and the western states who believe in the Constitution, who believe in what we were founded on, then who have Christian values. I mean, I hate to say that, but that doesn't mean that other religions aren't important too, but our country was founded on Christian values.
Yes, it was.
And without those values, you don't care what happens to your neighbor. You don't care about the other person. And we do. We do. The South still does. And it's taking back the education of our kids. And that was brought up at Stone Mountain today too. Not just education, but they were saying, well, if you follow the 10th Amendment, the federal government's going to say, fine, you're not getting any more federal funds. And Pastor Weaver said, great, and you're not going to get any more revenue from us.
Bingo! That's what I've always said. Don't send the stinking federal government the money in the first place. Don't have a federal gasoline tax. Don't have a federal tax on ammunition, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead, Miss Mindy. You're on fire. I don't want to interrupt you another second. Go ahead, Miss Mindy.
Well, I was inspired today at Stone Mountain, but I really was with the speakers, and because they were saying the exact same things that we are saying in our organization and other organizations, other Confederate organizations, or just other political right-wing groups are saying. I honestly feel that this generation is the one that's going to make the change. It has to. If we don't do it, it'll be lost forever. if we don't take a stand now, there will not be any Constitution. There will not be a free America. We're not free now. And that was another thing that Pastor Weber was saying. We have an illusion of freedom. But we're not free now. We have to, you know, pay our taxes. We have to follow the rules. We have to do everything that the federal government says. And that's not free. That's not freedom. And we have the right in our Constitution, the way we were founded, to govern ourselves, to set our own goals. If New York wants to have transvestites and transgender people all over and they want to have abortions or whatever they want to do, fine. But that's not us. We're not those people, and we're not going to stand for it. And I really believe I'm not alone. I started getting involved in 2020 when I saw them erasing our history, totally rewriting it, tearing down our monuments. And it wasn't just the South's monuments. I mean, they tore down, they even tore down an Abraham Lincoln statue because they didn't know what they were doing. I'm fine with them tearing down an Abraham Lincoln statue. But they were plants, and they did what they were told to do. And that's exactly what they do in a communist country. They erase all the history. They erase the heroes of the past. And they bring in, you know, they rewrite it. They'll even cut out pictures of somebody that was in a picture from the past just to have the new history. It's rules for radicals is what it is. You know, you tell a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. That's exactly what they've done. So we've had it. And it's not just me. And I was so encouraged today to listen to the speakers because I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting the fellowship and all the other Confederates coming to do the Memorial Day celebration, but I wasn't expecting the forceful speeches and the rhetoric coming from not just Pastor Weaver, but from the SCV hierarchy. And they were. And I think we all feel it. It's not just me. It's not just you, Eddie. It's not just Rand. It's not just a few people in Confederate groups. We all feel it. And that's why we can't drive down the street anymore, because people in other parts of the country want that freedom. They don't want that. And they're moving here. They're voting with their feet.
You know, just like that's the same reason our borders are overrun too, our southern borders. You know, this is kind of, you mentioned something, I got to get this comical thing in. You know, you talked about Lincoln earlier. Well, the bitter ender, Gene Andrews, said that, you know, the only president in history of the United States that was ever executed for war crimes was Lincoln.
Well, and he should have been. And that's where it all started. The communism, the Marxism, it started under Lincoln. And that's how we got here. He was the worst president ever. I didn't know that when I was a kid. I was told he was the greatest, but I know that
we
now.
We all were. Man, you're absolutely on fire, man. I tell you, where in the hell have you been? I mean, you are absolutely, you're incredible. You know, Red, I hate to stop her from talking. She's on fire. Would you like to ask her a question or two, Rand, before we let her go, before we turn her loose?
Because
she's rolling.
I don't mean to be negative, and I certainly agree with Mindy wholeheartedly, and I hope and pray that she's right about a peaceful exit. But y'all brought up Lincoln, okay? Well, it's just my opinion that these people that are in charge now, and I'm not talking about Biden. Biden's just a puppet. But these people that are in charge now, when we do go that next step, whatever that is, 10th Amendment, excuse me, or whatever, these people are going to make Lincoln look like a cupcake, y'all. They already go into other countries. They're doing the same thing over there in Ukraine now with the Russians. It's just, for lack of a better way to put it, won't go along with all the new world order stuff, you know, in lockstep with them. That's the whole thing against Russia. So when this does happen, And I think Mindy's right. I think we're going more that way. More people are seeing it, waking up, and people are making a little bit more movement. But when we do get to that certain point, they'll do whatever it takes. They didn't let us go peacefully 160 years ago, y'all. And like I said, I don't mean to be negative. I don't need to pour rain on the parade or anything like that. But I just don't see us letting us just walk out and saying, hey, Alabama, you do your own thing like you want to do. They'll never let that happen unless we take it. Like we talk about the power. We're going to have to take that power from them. And that's the only way that I see it happening.
Well, you know, Rand, also, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but here's the thing. I'm sure Miss Mindy, we'll go right back to Miss Mindy because she is our honored guest, but I would think Miss Mindy was probably, she's saying, if you never swing at the ball, you're guaranteed to strike out. So it sounds to me like these people are trying to do it in a way, in a civilized way, a way a white Christian would do. And in the state legislature, that's the way the Constitution laid it out. I'm sure Miss Mindy will agree that the state legislatures actually are supposed to control the whole thing. And I think Miss Mindy said that's what why they're trying first to do the peaceful way. Like Miss Mindy says, she hates war. If you've ever seen war, I can guarantee double damn to you, you won't want to see it again. But go ahead, Miss Mindy. Respond to Rand, if you will.
To answer Rand's question, I'm afraid he's right, but I pray that he's wrong. I pray that we can do it peacefully, but it's looking more and more like that's not going to happen. And I can
at
tell
least
you what,
trying though. Cares.
That we yeah. have
and
to.
I'm
that's
not,
our obligation. I can't even tell you the number. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Mindy. Go
no,
ahead.
I don't talk over you, Mindy. I agree. We have to take those certain steps. But I just wouldn't, you know, I'm just trying to be realistic about what I see their response to be. I mean, look at just an example of what y'all said already having those two Negro representatives up there catering to them. I mean, they want this to happen. They want to provoke. They want to provoke things, just like Wendy said earlier. They want to provoke us. You know,
well, hey, let's Mindy, you know, we're almost out of time, Rand. Let's let Mindy finish up. We're almost out of time. We have to let her go ahead, Miss Mindy. Finish up what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I know you're trying to do it legally, trying to do it the way the Constitution spells out, trying to do it like the 10th Amendment spells out. But go ahead, continue on. Me and Rand can do this in a segment.
I think just about every man I know. In Confederate groups or Southern groups are ready to fix bayonets and they're ready to fight and die if necessary for it. I spent a lot of time trying to pull them back. It's like, we're not there. A, we're not organized for that, but B, we haven't tried everything yet and we haven't been attacked. We'll have to defend ourselves if we are, but we haven't been attacked physically, like physical war. So
let me ask you this question, Mindy.
I hear exactly what he's saying. So, yes.
Okay. We're doing everything the right way. What you told me, these governors and these legislatures have gotten backbone. They're passing laws. If we, the people in the southern states, and the legislature stand up, stand their guns, we stand their guns, will the North come down on us and invade us 1860 style?
They very well could. Yeah,
what's
of course.
Prediction?
I mean,
what's your
that's
gut feeling?
The risk of...
Your gut feeling.
My gut feeling is we have a chance because of the Constitutional Supreme Court and because of the precedent of Brexit. We'll see what happens in Texas this year, too. They're voting on it. I think we have a chance. I think that, and I think with God, all things are possible. I think it is still possible. I'm day by day, I'm getting a little less enthusiastic, but I think it's possible.
Miss Mindy, you have absolutely been one of the greatest guests we have ever had since I've been doing this, and we have to let you go now.
Oh, thank you.
We've come to the hour. Please, you have my number. Please stay in touch. I would very much love to get you on again in the very, very, very near future if you would like to come back on. How about that?
Oh, of course.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Miss Mindy Esposito. Boy, I tell you what, Gene Andrews found a diamond, buddy. I tell you, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, dear. We'll keep you in our prayers. Thank you so much. You knocked it out of the park. Rand, hold on. Stay on with us for a segment of the third hour, brother, if you don't mind. People, we're transitioning over into the third hour. Right now, we're going to pick up the Blood River Radio sisters, Mr. Nancy and Braveheart herself. Be right back, folks.